up, Rihanna? How you doing?
Good. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing good. We are back, everybody, on Bikini and Wellness Zone. And we got some cool topics for you today that, you know, Rihanna really put a lot of effort and time into here. It's very relevant for a lot of competitors. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to be talking about how to have a successful improvement season, which is very relevant since I think a lot of people are heading into improvement seasons right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not already in it, you're probably going to be there because, you know, the kind of iconic end of the sport season-wise. I mean, there's shows all the time, but this time of year is not the best time for competitors to be in season, you know, unless you're like, I mean, it's kind of weird they put Olympia in December now, honestly, but
yeah,
because it always was in September for like ever. It was always September, and that was kind of the end of the whole, you know, the season at that point for a lot of people. And then with, you know, all the pandemic that came out and moved it to December after they had to cancel it. So, I mean, it's a little weird, but, you know, if you're not in improvement season yet out there, people, you probably will be moving into, like, the new season, which is kind of around, like, what, March, you know, somewhere in there, Brianna?
Yeah, I think March is, like, the start of new season. I think it's when we have, like, the Arnold and then everything. I think a lot of the shows kind of revolve around then, and we have, like, the first round of national circuits starting right in the early spring. So I think that starting improvement season now for a lot of people is super important so that they can keep it tight and well planned for the coming season.
Yeah, especially with the holidays going on right now, you know, and everybody, you know, we talked about the holidays last time, but it is always a good time to have a focus on a goal. Otherwise, you might, you know, lose track of the end game goal, and that's really important. So you pretty much put together a nice list for us here today of a pretty long list here, people. No, I'm just kidding. Rihanna's always very prepared. I'm always like, oh, okay, what are we doing? But here we are. We're talking about how to have a successful improvement season off season because there are, you know, I mean, what's the biggest issue, do you think? Like, you know, have you seen, obviously, we both work with a lot of competitors. Have you ever seen when competitors get off stage, you know, they kind of just, they don't have that focus, they don't have that drive, and, you know, they fall off? I've seen that a few times, and I definitely know it happens a lot with other coaches and teams because a lot of other, you know, competitors don't even train with coaches in the improvement season offseason. So maybe we could just start there. Like, what's your experience with seeing people in the offseason? What makes the difference?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference is having a plan, right? I think the improvement season, you should be talking to your coach about it before you're even done competing. Like, you should know what's going to happen and what your plan is after the show before the show even comes, right? Trying to wing it, I think it's people's biggest mistake. Just trying to say, like, or trying to think that you don't need a coach for the improvement season is the biggest mistake I see out there. I think that this phase is really hard, especially hard mentally, and just trying to wing it without a plan or a coach will set you up for failure. It just will.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, you know, I see it a lot. And then, you know, those are the competitors that end up coming back and training with us the next season because they gained 20, 30 pounds, you know, in that off season. They got real shredded, real lean. We're probably doing some crazy extreme stuff to do it. And then show's over. Hey, you know what? I'm going to take a break now. You know, the kind of exact opposite side of the coin, you know, for the most part, especially happens to a lot of beginners because, you know, you might not know how serious you are about the sport when you just start out. Might take you a few shows to even consider, you know, you might want to get a pro card. I don't think most people start, you know, with the idea in mind that, hey, I want to compete and I want to get a pro card before they ever even have done a show. Some people can think that, but you really don't know until you step on stage and you get on stage a few times. So, I mean, okay, so what's the first thing that people need to consider if they're trying to set up a good, you know, improvement season, off season? What do they need to be considering?
So I think the first thing is trying to figure out what is your goal for this improvement season, right? Are you, and I guess your goal has to be off of like your feedback too, right? So like, is your goal to just maintain during the improvement season? Can you stay lean? Do you have to build a little bit of muscle? Do you have to bring in better conditioning? So I think the first thing you have to do is figure out what is your goal for this improvement season. And after that, you can come up with a game plan for it, right? So
yeah, the goal you're approaching, but also, you know, I was going to mention too, just before we go too far down that hole, you know, like if you haven't compete, ever. You might still, you need to start probably in your improvement season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's another thing you got to understand, right? You got to go from the point of maybe you don't even have that judge's feedback yet. You kind of got to get feedback from your coach maybe in that sense. Like, hey, you're going to hire Brianna and she's going to say, hey, you know what? Here's the areas you want to compete. We got to bring up the quads a bit. We got to bring up the glutes, the shoulders, whatever. So we're going to have to build that muscle first before you go into a prep, you know? I think a lot of competitors, you know, start, they don't start with the right idea. What I always say about improvement season is that it is the thing that makes you have a stage physique, period. You know, everybody's always so focused on prep and they're always so serious about prep. But your improvement season is where everything is built. I mean, the judges don't really care how lean you can get. If you don't have the muscle, you don't have the shape. And like, since we're talking about bikini and wellness, these are two divisions that require very specific muscles and shapes. You know, it's not like you can just train in any kind of random way and you're going to attain that look. You probably won't. And, you know, then you'll go to the stage and you'll have to do a lot of extra work. So, I mean, this improvement season, when we're talking about this, everybody listening, we're talking about even if you haven't competed, even if you have, you know, whatever you are, you could be an IFBB pro in improvement season. So, you know, like those are all really good tips there, Brianna, I think for sure.
Yeah, I think actually that's such a common thing. Like I get a lot of clients or potential clients or people wanting, reaching out and saying, okay, I'm ready to train with you. I want to start a prep. And they're very surprised when I tell them like, yeah, we're going to do like a prep before a prep, like an improvement phase. Like you have to grow. We can't just go into a prep because essentially a prep, all that really is leaning down, right? The improvement season is where you're growing, where you're actually making and building the physique that you need in order to be able to have a prep. So it's, I think, such a misconception that you can just go ahead and start a prep. That is just the leaning down process. And that doesn't happen until you have a good foundation. And I think a big mistake that a lot of, especially newer competitors make, is they try to start leaning down without building this foundation. And that kind of sets them up for a place where they're not going to be very competitive, or now you're so lean, you probably ruined, or not ruined, but you could have spent this time building instead of leaning down. And now you almost have to like redo that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. Because the thing, too, to add to that is anytime you're dieting down, you're losing muscle, people. This happens. Even if you got the greatest coach in the game, okay? You're talking to two of them right now, or you're listening to two of them. Make sure you subscribe to our show, by the way, if you're here right now. But, you know, like, it, no matter what, you're going to burn a little bit of muscle, just what happens to the body in a calorie deficit. Obviously, people that do, you know, the very extreme kind of prep procedures where they're doing really low calories, you know, 600-800 calories, 2 hours plus cardio day, you're going to burn a lot more muscle. But no matter what, by default, you're going to burn some muscle when you prep. So if you go into trying to just say, you know what, oh, I saw a bikini competitor, I want to do that. I found a show, it's 12 weeks out. I've never done anything with this sport. I've just been in the gym, but I want to go to stage. You know, you're going to burn off some of the muscle you already have. And, you know, the end result is that means taking even longer time to have to go into improvement season after, right? And I mean, every competitor's goal is to get on stage and compete. But if you do things that, you know, take away from the muscle and everything else and the shape that you're going to need no matter what, it's kind of going to be, you know, spending more time in the off season than competing.
Absolutely. And I think that's the biggest point of the improvement season. It's to set up the foundation for an easy, good prep, right? So doing all the things, building muscle, which means eating enough, getting calories high, training hard, making sure everything's in line, whether it's hormones, metabolism, digestion, all of the things, like taking care of all of that so that prep is easy for you and your body responds during a prep. You don't want to go into a prep dieting down already or doing a whole ton of cardio or not having any muscle and trying to build while you're cutting. That just would be a disaster.
Yeah. So when you're setting your goals with your athletes, right, you train bikini, you train wellness, many of them. So you're setting their improvement season based off of pretty much whatever goal they have at that time, right?
Yeah. So that's the first thing we'll do. So whether it's us assessing feedback that they got from judges or if they're first time competitors, kind of taking a look at all their pictures and videos and where they're at there, we'll decide on a goal, right? So regardless of the goal, the point of improvement season is really to come back better, right? So a couple of goals we set is either it's going to be a muscle building phase, it's going to be a conditioning time, or maybe I have competitors that are ready to get back on stage pretty quick. So we do more of just conditioning until the next show. So first things first, we set a goal and what we have to accomplish during this phase.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the first key. And again, why it's not a great idea to not have a coach, because a lot of competitors, I mean, everybody, even if you've been doing this for a long time, it's very easy to get in your own head and think the wrong kinds of things and think that, oh, this and that. And also, let me just say this, everyone listening, if you are new to this sport or you've been here a while, I mean, either way, the judge's feedback is confusing as shit a lot of times. They will say it in ways, this is why I always tell people, and, you know, Sandy Williamson will say this, you know, Tarek will say this, everybody will say this. They are the judges, they're not the trainers, right? So they look at what they see on stage and they say, okay, a little bit more of this muscle, a little bit more conditioning, a little bit of that. You know, they'll give you the feedback, but it doesn't correlate to how you're going to need to train per se. You know, so a lot of competitors hear conditioning. Oh, that means I got to be leaner. No, it means you need to appear leaner. It could mean that you actually need to add more muscle, right? And you could actually maintain that body fat percentage, but add more muscle and you're going to look leaner. It's all about, you know, kind of reverse engineering what the judges are seeing versus what you actually have to be doing. So, you know, a lot of comparisons, especially bikini and wellness, always so worried about being lean. I mean, that's the number one thing everyone's always worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, but like you think about some of the leanest divisions in this sport, they're the more muscular divisions, okay? Like, you know, for example, figure, women's physique, you know, all that. Any of the men's divisions, men's physique, men's bodybuilding, these divisions have a lot more muscle, and obviously they get leaner body fat percentage-wise, but a lot of the time, the reason they appear so much leaner is just due to the fact they're carrying more muscle. So a lot of times when I hear conditioning, you know, from a competitor, oh, you know, they said conditioning. Okay, that actually means to me sometimes I'm looking at the fact that you probably don't have enough shoulders. You probably don't have enough glute. You know, probably don't have, you know, the right quads. We might need to actually just build, and that's the conditioning we get.
Yeah, absolutely. Along those lines, I also hear a lot of competitors say their feedback was to come in fuller. And they'll take that and assume that it means that they need to eat more and just like carb up more or just gain more, where really maybe they just needed to actually lean down a little bit to look fuller. It just depends on so many different things. But sometimes the judge's feedback can be interpreted different ways. And I think that's where it's important to have a coach that can look at your pictures, look at how you're training and eating and be able to really determine, no, they didn't mean fuller as in like go eat more. They just meant to like add in a little bit more muscle. Does that make sense a little bit too?
Totally. 100%. So, you know, it's confusing out there, people. That's why you want an expert in your corner. I mean, that's why it's crazy to try to do this yourself. The sport at this point, I mean, there was a time bikini. We flash back to like 2010 bikini. You could have done it. You know, a lot of people could have done this themselves, you know, self-coaching, whatever. You know, the criteria was not that advanced compared to what it is today. Mm-hmm. I've done posts on this. I've talked about this. You flash bikini competitors from any years prior to now, it won't look anything like what we're dealing with today. I mean, it's the most competitive the sport has ever been. It's the most advanced looked. And, you know, like I always say, there's no athletes in any sport at any high level that don't have coaches, you know, people guiding them. So I think that's really important. And I mean, that's why you're saying pretty much the goal is set the goal and know how to work for it. And then you get to become your best athlete when that is your focus. So, you know, obviously I train you, I coach you, Brianna. So maybe you could give insight into, you know, some of the times, because you trained yourself before. This is actually a great way we could review this right now, is you did self-coaching prior. Then when you start working, you know, with me, I started taking over your coaching at that point. And you have done phases of prep and improvement season on both sides. So give us a little insight into both. What is it like doing the self-coach versus having a coach?
I think my biggest mistake was not getting a coach sooner, but this is a great example. So I self-coached for years before you, and that was working, right? But up until a certain level and extent, like once I reached a level where I knew it was almost like I wasn't seeing myself objectively anymore, for one. So I was had the typical bikini competitor mindset of like leaner's better. So my eyes, I kept thinking, you know, like, well, I need to keep getting better. So I'm going to keep getting a little bit leaner and that kind of thing. So I wasn't really able to objectively see myself or deliver the feedback that the judges were giving me. I wasn't able to interpret it by myself for my own body. Mm-hmm. It's really hard being a coach and being your own coach. So once I turned to you, you were able to have like an objective eye and really tell me what I needed to do in order to progress, which is, it's been game changer for me, right? Everything became more dialed in. I was able to take it to the next level. My physique has never looked better. And I've gotten to a lot, like a healthier place with my nutrition. Calories are higher, cardio is lower, things that I probably wouldn't have been able to reach by myself. Actually, I know I wouldn't have been able to do by myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like with that, we've had to, you know, make decisions in prep, even during the time I've called you, because you always want to compete, right? Every competitor mm-hmm. always wants to compete. Goal is to always get back to stage as soon as possible, stay on stage, do as many mm-hmm. shows as you can. That's what everybody loves about the sport, right? It's those moments on stage. And, you know, the funny thing about this sport is there's such a large amount of time off the stage to actually get that type of a physique. You know, it's not like any other sports where, you know, there's a season and everybody's playing multiple games or doing all this stuff and whatever. And all of their, you know, their training goes into multiple long hours and hours of doing their sport. In this sport, you know, unless you're an IFBB pro, like you could be standing on stage in a bikini competition doing your posing routine for 10, 12 seconds. And then, you know, you get on stage with your class and you're up there 1-2 minutes. And then you get your thing and you're out. And the whole day, you know, that one day led up to a few minutes on a stage mm-hmm. that you trained months for, you know, a lot of the time to even get there. I mean, standard, just a prep period is going to be 12 weeks-ish. So, I mean, improvement season prep, all that comes in. There's been times, though, I was going to say that, you know, we had to say, okay, we actually need to build muscle. We actually mm-hmm. needed to, you know, go into – hey, it's not time to keep trying to get on stage. You know, let's actually take some time to build some muscle. So maybe you can give some insight into how do you know when you need to take a break and you need to grow versus keep trying to compete?
Yeah, so a lot of things, right? First, the first thing that I would say is your feedback from your coach, from your potential coach, from the stage, right? For me personally, I was too small. I just needed to build muscle. That was the number one thing. So going off of your physique, right? So I needed to build. That means I needed to train, and I needed to train and eat enough for a while, not just a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Like, I needed to put in time. Like, it's been over a year now, right? It just takes time. So that is one thing. Two, I think that even if your feedback is, well, if your feedback was, let's just say, an ideal, like you're looking good, you can keep competing, you just need to add a little bit here and there, great. But what if you're already so run down because you've done so many shows and your food is super low and it has been low for a long time and your cardio is really high and your digestion is taking a hit and your hormones are a mess? So just because you look good does not always mean you need to keep competing. Sometimes you need to be able to take a step back. And this is where a coach is really important, because a good coach is going to tell you, we need to take a break to take care of what's going on inside so your body can keep responding and you can have longevity in the sport, right? So those are all things that I look at, that we look at for, like, myself as an athlete, but also for all of our clients. We want to be able to keep competing, and to keep doing that, we have to make sure all these other variables are also looking good. Something else that's really important too, I notice, when I have a client that starts to prep is hard, right? But if I have a client that's complaining a lot, kind of feeling like dreading their workouts, dreading the meal plan, dreading all of it, I know that's the time where we need to step back a little bit and reassess. Like, do we need a mental break? Do we need a little bit of time off to, like, miss it a little bit and then come back more energized with a better mindset? Because I think we oftentimes forget to take care of the mind, and I think an improvement season is a time where that's something we can really focus on so that we can come back motivated again and have, like, that fire again for the sport.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is too, you know, it's a lot of it also has to do with when you're a competitor, you're so focused on that goal of competing on the stage that you can easily lose sight of a lot of other things, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like we're kind of going free will off this list here of things to talk about. We're just chatting, but you know, whatever. But the point is like, you know, things going on, there's other facets of your life, no matter what, people. Okay. Mm-hmm. You got friends, you got family, you got significant others, you have a career, you have all these things, you know, bodybuilding for the most part, competing will be a hobby for 99% of people. Okay, like that's the truth. Competing will, I mean, there's not many people that compete and they pay their bills and, you know, live their whole life just competing. It is possible to get there, but it's not out of the whole population of people in the world. It's like, it's going to be less than 1%. Okay, so, you know, like you have to count on the fact that it's a hobby and you have to balance that with, you know, doing your best there, but also in every other area of your life, because it's easy to start neglecting that. And, you know, it, maybe you start noticing that happens, right? I've had people that I've been training before for shows and we're all gung ho and it might be a big show. It might be nationals and it might be like, hey, this person has the potential to go get a pro card, which is awesome, right? And you want to do it. But they'll notice they're slacking off at work. All of a sudden their boss is like, hey, you know what? You're showing up late. You kind of seem like you're a little bit of a zombie. Your boss don't give a shit about your prep brain, people. Okay. You know, and like neither does your mom, your dad, your boyfriend, your husband. Nobody cares about your prep brain. You got to make sure that you're giving everybody every level. Otherwise, what ends up happening is you get so focused on bodybuilding in the sport that, you know, you go hit that stage, you compete, and no matter what happens, you might win your class, you might get a pro card, and then you get off that stage and you got to look at the rest of your life and realize, okay, whoops, there's a number of things that, you know, maybe I didn't have my full effort for that. Now I got to kind of refocus.
Yeah, that is such an important thing to talk about. I think that this is also why it's important to plan an off season, because if you're taking the time to actually plan out your improvement season, you can look at your life as a whole, not just bodybuilding, and say, okay, my busy season at work is these months, so I don't want to compete these months. So then plan your off season around that time. Or if you have big events like anniversaries with your significant other or whatever it is, and you know that's important to you, you can, if you take the time and plan your improvement season well, you can then plan your competition season around big life events, right? And we know timing's never going to be like ideal or perfect, but it could be better. Or you can simply say, I need to have this amount of time to focus on work and family and take care of that, and then I'll have their support and be in a good place to start a prep. So I think this is why planning an improvement season two is so important, because you can take care of all of these things. Not to mention that you want to be mindful of like how expensive the sport is. So like an improvement season, you can be working and budgeting and planning all of that out, so that when prep comes, when it's time to compete, all you really have to focus on and worry about is your prep.
Yeah, really good point. I mean, I didn't even think about the finances of it, but that is true, right? Like everybody always is worried about paying for coaching and stuff like that. You hear that all the time, and why people don't in the off-season improvement season. Like, oh, if I'm not on prep, I don't need a coach. You know, the coach is the most valuable thing you can spend your money on in this sport, period, because it will dictate how long you can train, you know, how you actually do it shows. And if you ever, you know, hopefully you can avoid a lot of hurdles and a lot of mistakes and a lot of things that can happen. Cause like, you know, we're hitting you guys with a lot of different, you know, a lot of different tips here at once, but you know, like the coaching thing is so big and so important. And, you know, if you got a coach that can help you figure out, hey, here's the best way to do this plan, do that plan, and we can get on this show, we can do that, you can save a lot of money doing that. I mean, you know, you got to think about the finances that come into the sport. It really does add up. There's a lot of it, you know, that, you know, if you don't have the ability to pay for a ton of shows, like, safely, don't even do it yet.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it also comes down to the level of competitor you want to be in the sport, I think. You know, like, if we look at, you know, the Olympia, for example, we look at these Olympian athletes, Mr. Olympia, Miss Olympia, last I checked, they compete once a year. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not the same for everyday competitors. Yeah. The more advanced you become, the longer your improvement season becomes too. And that's a really important thing to consider. You know, if you're first timer, sure, hit the stage. You can do some shows. You might be able to cram a few in the season. You want to try to go get a pro card. You want to, you know, become a pro. You want to train for pro shows. You want to try to go to Olympia. Well, your off seasons, your improvement seasons get a lot longer and your time on stage gets a lot less. And so that's the biggest difference, I think, you know, to make sure that you have these areas of focus. And we keep hammering this, but it's so important to have a successful improvement season. So important to have a successful offseason.
Yeah, and I think something else that happens, especially when you don't have a coach, whether it is you coming off of stage and trying to do your own improvement season or just trying to get ready for a show and then wanting to just hire a show prep and not have anybody for an improvement season, I think it's very easy for people to get a little crazy during the improvement season and gain a whole ton of weight. Girls will gain like 20, 30. And actually I've had clients that gained 40 or when people coming to me that've gained 40 and 50 pounds on their off season. And then they come to me and they want to start a prep. Well, guess what? Like now your prep is going to have to be extra long. And we're going to spend a whole lot of time trying to just lose weight where we could have spent this prep just having a much slower cut, not being so aggressive, probably a shorter period. Now we have to spend months trying to get this fat off of you. So really, if you would have just had a coach during your improvement season, you probably would have maintained and not gained so much. And now the focus becomes trying to lose this weight instead of like building a little bit of muscle while we're still cutting and having a more enjoyable prep. So I think if you don't have the right coaching through an improvement season, it's very easy to lose sight of the goal. I think people find it really hard to stay on track when they don't have a date, when they don't have like competition in 10 weeks or whatever. So this is when a coach comes in and can keep you focused and dialed in week after week on your goals so that when a prep comes, it's a lot easier.
If you don't have the focus, it's game over already. And that's the whole thing. I mean, if I haven't said it in all my roundabout ways of talking, sorry for everyone listening to me ramble, but like, if I haven't made it clear, what I'm saying is most of your time in this sport will be made in the improvement season, no matter what, if you want to be your most successful. Anybody can jump into a prep at 12 weeks out and say, sure, I'm going to go, but you're probably not going to place well. You're probably not going to be happy with your placing, but you know what? Maybe you are. Some people just want to do that. There's actually some people that have, you know, competing as a bucket list type sport. And they're like, bucket list type goal. And they want to just get on stage. I've had people come along in my career. It doesn't happen very often, but I've had people say like, hey, I don't even care how I place. I just want to get on stage and do this whole thing. I mean, some people, that's for some people, and that's great. If that's you, awesome. Go for it. Strongly encourage you to go for it. You know, don't not compete just because of that. But if you want to be, you know, the winner, you want to win your class, you want to try to go to nationals, you want to get a pro card, you want to go beyond, it's a lot of off season. And that is, you know, why it's serious. And also, I was going to say, too, we keep talking about getting a coach that's good and all that. Awesome. You should have that. You also got to listen to your damn coach, people. You know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of competitors. Happens to me. People come sign up and they're all gung-ho for training. I'll send them messages. I'll wait for check-ins. I'll do whatever. And they're just not taking it serious, you know. So if you're not mentally in the zone, you know, for each phase of your goal, it's a huge issue. And I think also that comes from a lot of times, let me tell you who that is that does that the most. It's competitors that came from other coaches or other teams where they were doing really extreme shit for a long time. Mm-hmm. Lots of cardio, lots of low calories. Those people are just so burnt on it at that point. They're almost like trapped in their own mind to be able to deal with the fact that they have to continue some other focus. That even if they come sign up and they want to train and they do all this, they can't even like mentally get in the zone to follow it. And that's why it's also so important to be ahead of the game and make sure you know what phase is for prep and what phase is for, you know, improvement. Because there's a lot of benefits that happen to your body and your mind and your hormones and everything else when you're actually not on prep. And maybe you can shed more light on that, Brianna.
Yeah, absolutely. You worded all of that so well. I think people tend to have really extreme preps and then go in, they can't even think of following a plan any longer. So then they don't and it all backfires. But there's so many benefits of a solid improvement season. If you're doing things right, I can speak for personal experiences, simply increasing food and doing so strategically with every check-in. You're able to get stronger with your workouts. Then you start seeing better muscle. you're not only able to have energy for your workouts, but you have a little bit more energy for everyday life. And you're able to do other things during this time too, and spend more time with family because you can be a little bit more flexible with your nutrition, maybe have more untracked meals, all of those little things that you don't get to do during a strict prep. You get to start doing a little bit more of during your improvement season. And slowly that triggers or causes other areas of your life to start getting a little bit better too, whether it's relationships, work, focus, all these other things. And I feel like I'm rambling, sorry. But during this phase too, during a good improvement season, you can take care of other things. I know a lot of girls during preps have a lot of hormonal issues, or can have a lot of hormonal issues. So with a good prep, you can start taking care of your good off season. You can start taking care of your hormones a little bit more, your digestion, your sleep, your stress, all of these things improve, and you just feel so much better all around during a good improvement season.
Absolutely. And it's all about too, you know, like I said, being ahead of the curve in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like with you, when I started training you, I would tell you, I would say, I mean, I'll tell everybody on here that you were kind of in the burnout mentality mm-hmm. for the most part. Like mm-hmm. if you had continued doing the stuff you were doing back then, you know, because you were new IFBB pro, you got your pro card, which is awesome. And you did all those things. And then your whole goal was like, yeah, now I got to compete in pro shows. I got to get on stage, right? Like how soon after you got your pro card did you hit your first pro show?
I tried to get into a show. I won my pro card in July and competed in Arizona in September. But from that phase,
so pretty quick.
Pretty quick, yeah. And I think that was a big mistake because I was self-coached. And I thought in order to get better, I have to go harder. So after my pro card, I started dieting even harder, training, kind of took a hit. I was doing a lot of cardio and I was just go, go, go. Not really. I just felt, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but I felt like I had to go harder. I competed in Arizona and I was exhausted at that point. I think I had been in prep from like March all the way through the summer. It was September at this point. I still wanted to keep going, kept myself in a prep. I didn't even realize like how much of a hit my body was taking. Like, I didn't even look good anymore and I still wanted to compete, but I almost didn't quite realize that because I just wanted to keep competing. I thought I'm a new pro. There's a show every weekend. I want to keep getting better. But what I really needed was a good coach to come in and tell me like, we need to stop. We need to grow. You need to focus on these areas. You need to improve. You need to not be so burnt out all around, mentally, physically, all of it. We need to like do a little bit of a reset, right? So that's when you came in and we changed the way I was training. We changed the way I was eating. I wasn't even following macros. So we started doing that. It was just a much needed break. I was burnt out. I don't even know if I was really enjoying it anymore. I almost had to not completely start from scratch, but it felt like it in a lot of ways because I had to change the way I was training. I had to back off cardio. I had to recover my body and my mind. And it took some time, you know, it took months. And now I've been in an improvement season for a little over a year. And I think finally, the last few months, I really feel like I've made a lot of progress. Like it just takes time. And I think that's one of the most important things for people to remember is that nothing's going to happen overnight, especially not a solid improvement season. It takes more than just a couple of weeks, more than just a couple of months. Sometimes you really need to stick to it day in and day out for a long time if you want to make the changes, especially as a natural athlete. Really, like, it's going to take a little extra time and you really want to be maximizing your time to the fullest, and that requires a good coach. You're not going to be able to do it by yourself. You're really not.
Yeah, 100% true. And the thing is, you know, with that, you know, this sport and the reason to have improvement seasons, off season, people, it is very easy to, like, luckily you didn't encounter any of this stuff, but like I said, you were in the burnout mode. Like, you know, you would have definitely, in my opinion, honestly, professionally, I would say that if you continued that path, you probably wouldn't be competing at all or have any idea to want to do this anymore, because you would have just got so burnt out and you probably would have started to get a lot of that, you know, the outside life effects where your career or relationships or whatever were starting to go, and you would have had to make a different choice eventually. I mean, the thing that people don't get is the body always will win. Okay. Mm-hmm. We do everything we can as coaches, and we do everything we can, you know, as athletes to train to get a specific ideal, but the body will always win. And that is really what happens. I mean, it chooses pretty much for the most fact, like, hey, if you're not doing the right shit for me, I'm going to make you do it one way or another. Right. And this mm-hmm. is how people, you know, like I used to train a lot of people. It's not necessarily related, but you know, that had like a lot of injuries and issues, mm-hmm. like, and they needed, you know, rehabilitation, right? You know, somebody's back is bad. You hear this all the time, or shoulder's bad. Okay, well, if that fucking person took a week off the gym mm-hmm. and stopped trying to do deadlift PRs every week because they're stubborn and they don't want, you know, to lose their muscle or whatever, a lot of times those people recover, and yeah. maybe it takes a little longer, but you know, our sport is not performance based. Mm-hmm. It's based on aesthetics. So it's mm-hmm. not about if you, it's not like I'm saying, hey, you got to sprint every day, Brianna, you know, 10,000 meters because we got to run 100 meters faster. You know, so that's our goal. And if you got injured, obviously you would think, OK, well, no, I can't sprint today. You know, in this sport, you can continue yeah. to get so far down the path in your mindset of like more is better, more is better, more is better. That, you know, like people develop eating disorders in the sport. People mm-hmm. develop, you know, mental stuff in the sport. People develop all kinds of things where if you don't take the time to allow your body and your mind to recover and relax and get that benefit, it's going to be hugely detrimental to every area and you probably won't want to compete. I've actually seen competitors message me that have done one prep and maybe they see my stuff on YouTube or whatever and they'll send me a DM and they'll be like, yeah, I did one prep. I'll never do it again. Yeah. It was the worst experience of my life. It was miserable. I was on low calories, low carb. And that's so sad to hear because it's like, wow, all it could have all it would have taken mm-hmm. is better approach to programming, coaching, and also understanding like there is things outside the stage, everybody. So
yeah. And that's another good point you made with the whole injuries and the body just taking such a big hit. Usually right after a show, going into an improvement season, I pretty much make my clients take time off the gym. Usually they're like, I don't need yep. it. I don't need it. I don't need it. Like I'm getting more food or I want to train hard. And I usually really encourage them to just take the full next week off the gym. I know it sounds like crazy to a lot of people to like hear that, but your body needs to recover. And I usually, or not usually, but oftentimes I have competitors having like aches and pains, whether it's like their back or a finger or whatever it is. And like, these are all little signs that your body has been working really hard. You just need to take a little bit of a break, maybe even just a deload. Don't go in and train so hard. Give your body a break. And that is so hard for us competitors to try to do, is to back off the gym because we love it, right? We started competing because we love training. And when we ask competitors to take a break from the gym, it sounds crazy, but I swear to you, every single time, myself included, you come back feeling so much better. Like, you're going to have better training sessions. All those aches and pains are probably going to go away. Injuries are going to recover if you just take a little bit of time. So another great reason to take a good improvement season and to know when to take it, like, let your body recover from it. Same thing with dieting. Like, a lot of us don't want to take a diet break. We're afraid that if we increase macros or stop dieting so hard for a little bit, we're going to have all these crazy bad side effects. That's not true. If it's a well-controlled diet break or proper refeeds or proper on-track meals, your body's actually going to appreciate it. Like, if you've been training hard and you just did a prep, your body probably really needs this extra food and needs the food to recover for energy, for hormones, for all the things. And again, how you said, like, it's so easy to get in our own heads and not be willing to do that. It takes a coach to tell you, like, no, we're going to take a little bit of diet break. And usually, almost always, what do we see after a controlled diet break? We see like good response from the body. Like, your competitors are feeling stronger. They're feeling recovered, rested. And really oftentimes the scale doesn't even move or moves very little because body needed it. So yeah, it's really easy to just get stuck in this mindset of like go, 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 or develop eating disorders or unhealthy mindsets or have physical injuries, all of the things, right?
Yeah, bodybuilding is a perfect sport to consider that, you know, it's so much about aesthetics, mm-hmm. you know, bikini, wellness, all of these. It's so much about aesthetics. That's what you get judged on. But it's also, I would say, way more about the mindset. Mm-hmm. And if your mindset gets into the spot where you can't like notice anymore. And for some of you first timers out there, if you've never competed, you're like, whoa, these guys are going crazy right now. This sounds a little scary. This is not the norm, but this can happen a lot. Okay. Like, you know, people can get a lot of issues from doing the sport. And you, if you've spent any time researching it, which I strongly suggest all of you do, anyone listening, keep researching the sport, keep like learning more and more about the sport. You will find a lot of people that have had a lot of like kind of what I call the horror story experiences. And it comes a lot down to how they have gone about their coaching and their prep and, you know, if they did the improvement seasons or not. And, you know, this is funny from experience from my perspective, coaching competitors. It's like you were saying, people never want to take a break. And literally, I don't ever force people. I mean, I always encourage people to take a break after the show. I say, you need to take a break. But hey, let me tell you the truth. I can't always convince people. So if that's you, I'll get your shit ready to go for tomorrow. Because, you know, I like to give people that choice. But I swear 99% of the time, they'll be like, the people that say, yeah, I'm good. Great. I feel great. I'm awesome. I'm ready to go. Just get the next plan up. Let's go. Improving season or it's time for the next show. I'm ready. Their body eventually will tell them no. Something will happen. They'll, you know, 3-4 weeks go by and they're like, oh, I'm just so tired, coach. I think I need some days off. And I always go, yeah, well, I told you take damn week off. Now we have to do it. So let's take the week off now.
Exactly. That happens so often. I see that even when I'm laughing because I think that's probably been myself at some point. So it is so true. The body.
It's definitely been you.
Yeah, I know. The body will force you, right? If you don't listen to it, it's going to make you do it eventually. So might as well just listen to your coach. But yeah, I think like the overall theme here or something to just remember is mindset is everything during the improvement season and keeping mentally strong. And that's done by having a good coach, maybe setting smaller goals along the way. Something that keeps me very mentally strong during improvement season is staying with my weekly check-ins. Like every time I check in with you, I feel motivated or I can assess where my progress is at. And that accountability just really keeps me mentally strong. So if anything, get a coach for the accountability of checking in every single week. It does wonders for your mind.
Yep, absolutely. And I think the last, like one of the last things we've been talking a while, I mean, we could go forever on this. We might have to do multiple episodes. And if you're still listening, everybody, thanks for being here. Subscribe, please. We got tons of great episodes. We didn't even talk about it, but we're going to be on this train, you know, with tons of stuff coming at you all the time. And we want to hear what you want us to talk about. So comment it somewhere, whatever. Let us know. Shoot us a DM. But the last thing I think is really important, you know, if we look at the overview here, we're talking about pretty much the most important way to have a successful improvement season is to consider all the variables we had in this episode. But also, I think it really takes, like, if you want to dumb it all down, have realistic expectations for yourself and what can be accomplished and what can be done, right? Mm-hmm. In an improvement season. A lot of people think, like, and I get this message. I just got this, I think, literally before we started recording this. Somebody who I've been training for like 4-6 weeks or something like that. They just signed up and, you know, they're like, they just got off stage and they signed up with me to do the improvement season coaching. And we're like 6 weeks in and they're like, okay, so I found a show. It's January 6th today, by the way, everybody listening, it's November 29th. Okay. So that is, I don't know when you're hearing this, but that is the day it is. So basically somebody in 5 weeks is saying, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's do the show. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Improvement season is what we're doing right now. We're in the building phase. And they're like, what do you mean? We're building. We have to build. That's what the improvement season is for. And they literally, you know, just have this idea that in literally 5-6 weeks of, you know, additional coaching, they're going to be ready to have made improvements and go to stage, which is so crazy. Because, like, you know, we talk about prep. And at this point, I would say the average prep takes 12 to 16 weeks at the least at this mm-hmm. point, probably more like 16, honestly, mm-hmm. with how competitive it's getting. The average improvement season, everybody, takes the rest of the fucking time, like the rest of it. You could be doing that for a year, depending where you're at. If you got, you know, 40 pounds to lose before you get on stage, okay, well, you got to lose all that before you do the prep. If you need to build 10 pounds of muscle, like it'd be a gift if you could do that in a year, you know? So like realistically, it's so about having a realistic expectation and knowing what the goal is and understanding how that timeline is going to be and not getting caught up in the idea that it has to be back to stage right away, or you got to be there. Because what's the point? This, and me and you actually had this conversation, right, when we were deciding if you need to go into improvement season or not. What's the point of doing another show if you already know that you have improvements to make?
Absolutely.
That's the interesting thing, right? Like, if you already know what the feedback will be or what you need to work on, then you're wasting time not getting to work. Absolutely. It's not just about stepping on stage and standing there. It's about doing it better every time. So that's, I think, really important. And, you know, Brianna, you've had great tips all through this episode about keeping on, you know, those realistic expectations. I think realistically, that's what we're talking about this whole time. Yep. As I review these notes, it's like, hey, where is this at? Where's this at? What are you doing here? You know, is it all going to be something that gets you to stage?
Yeah. And don't change your mind about getting on stage just when things get a little bit hard, right? Keep those realistic expectations. It's going to take time for your body to recover. It's going to take time to increase food. It's going to take time, a lot of time, to build muscle. It's going to take time to make the improvements. And really, there's no worse feeling than getting on stage and not looking any better or not making any improvements just because you decided to rush it. So just as you said, like, stop wasting time, like, get to work, make the improvements, maximize the way that you're doing it by having good coaching and having a solid improvement season. And you'll be back to stage a lot faster than you would if you just, you'll be back to stage faster and looking better if you do things right.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I mean, I think we leave it right there. That's a mic drop moment. Boom, mic drop from Brianna right there for you guys.
Yes.
But yeah, if you guys thought this was helpful, you know, let us know. We want your feedback. We want to know if what we're doing is what you want to be hearing. We got a ton of episodes. Like I told you, Brianna's a big planner. She's planned out the next 3 months of these.
I did.
We'll keep them going for sure. So make sure you're subscribed and you're following, you're paying attention. And obviously, you guys, if you are interested in coaching at all, we don't talk about this enough, honestly, but we do offer a free coaching trial. Mm-hmm. It's like crazy. Nobody else does this. Somebody will probably copy us eventually, but nobody else does this right now. Like, you can come train. You could train with Brianna free for a week. You train with me free for a week. Any of our other Team Flex coaches, free. If you want to see, you know, what it's like to actually set up a program that's sustainable, a good improvement season, something, you know, get us to look at where your physique's at. So we can give you some feedback, give you some tips, pointers, things that everyone else wants to charge you for. We're doing it for free. So if you're interested in that at all, it's on our website. And, you know, Brianna's doing trials all the time. People love it. And I will say this, you know, it's not a sales pitch. Like, you know, the majority of people that do the trials, they don't train with us after. They just want to come in and get some free feedback and some advice. You know, they want to learn some stuff. And, you know, that's why we do it. It's a give back. It's a value add. We sell programs all day. We don't need a trial to do it. So if you're interested in learning more stuff and, you know, getting a better idea about what could be better for you, check out our website, teamfflex.com.
Yes. And thank you guys for listening.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Thank you for listening. And yeah, give us feedback.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll see you later.